This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get more on the series from Zach Harper from The Athletic. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Don't forget the Bounce newsletter as well. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Excellent. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Zach.
We're good. I'm a little worried about the Cavaliers tonight. I'm not going to lie. These injuries, especially after game one, hurting a team that really went through the entire season injury-free.
Yeah, I mean, I think the injuries are concerning. Obviously, you know, they did okay without Darius Garland at the end of the Heat series, but that was the Heat, right? That was a broken Heat team that wasn't very good and was pretty ready to check out at the end there. And this Pacers team has been one of the best teams in the league since the turn of the calendar year. And obviously, you guys mentioned the Mobley and Hunter injuries. I would expect those guys to play, but I guess you never know. But yeah, this Pacers team's no joke.
Were you surprised at the way they came out in game one? What I was maybe more surprised about, Zach, Cavs kind of, you know, took that hit, came back, took the lead, and then the Pacers pulled away late on the road in game one. That to me was the concern if you're the Cavs.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that the Pacers played the way they did. I think I was surprised at the way that the Cavs didn't respond after the Pacers kind of came back at them, right? I thought the Cavs, you know, we've seen them, especially in those games against Boston this year, and it was something that we didn't really see in the previous couple of years. We, you know, they would make a run, they would have some resilience, but they didn't really have that extra push most of the time when they kind of got pushed back, and they had that this year. That resilience and that extra wave of, you know, whether it was three-pointers or just attacking, it was always there. They didn't really seem to have that. And I don't know if that was because Garland wasn't around. I don't know if that was just, you know, the three-point shooting wasn't clicking for them. But they didn't really have that. And that was the shocking thing to me. I thought we were going to have an amazing back-and-forth to end that. And they didn't wilt, but they seemed to run out of bullets there. That, to me, that they didn't have that final, you know, kind of shootout with the Pacers, that was the shocking thing to me.
If the Cavs are this banged up tonight, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. How do they beat the Pacers, especially after the way they looked the other night?
I mean, they really have to slow things down. You know, the Pacers are so good at being an opportunistic running team. They you know, run off makes. You know, like they don't necessarily. I mean, their defense has been really good in these last, you know, 50 games or so. They've been a top 10 defense, but They were off makes, they were off anything, they were off made free throws. Like they're a team that, you know, they're not, you know, just recklessly running, but they're so quick and so opportunistic with how they push ahead. And a lot of that's Tyrese Haliburton, but a lot of it's, you know, TJ McConnell gets up the floor. Aaron Nesmith will throw it up the floor. Like they're just a very smart team with how they kind of survey everything and get it up there. And so I think if you can kind of slow things down, I think the Cavs, if they just get back to that ball movement on offense, and we know they're going to knock down shots. This is the best three-point shooting team in the league this year. They're going to knock down shots. They're going to find that back. But they've got to, when they slow things down, they've got to get that perimeter defense back, because to me, that was the biggest problem in game one. I saw a lot of people kind of pushing back saying, oh, the Pacers aren't going to shoot like that the whole series. If the Cavs keep playing defense like that, they will. Because that to me was just thought they looked so disorganized in a way that we haven't seen them most of this year.
Zach, it was weird to me. A team that shared the ball so beautifully during the regular season, shared shots, had two guards take 50 shots. And
yeah,
it was so out of character from what they did all season, and it's the kind of stuff that got J.B. Bickerstaff fired last year. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I think some of that was maybe a little panic, you know, when the shots aren't falling and it's guys saying, all right, I got to take over. And I understand that on some level, especially with Donovan. I think he seemed to take the onus in that game of like, all right, I'm the star. We don't have Darius. Like I gotta make something happen here. And at times he did. And then at times the shots just didn't fall. And then I think, you know, Indiana had a pretty good game plan of covering the other guys. And you know, if you look at Tyrese Haliburton in front of you, not the best defender. I know he made some plays, you know, late in that fourth quarter and came out on top with that. But I also think, you know, Indiana kind of tricked him into it of like, hey, there are these guards in front of you that you don't think of as good defenders. Go attack them and had the help. And they tricked, you know, Ty Jerome and Donovan Mitchell into taking 50 shots.
The whole thing here is, and I think it's really interesting that we watch all these home teams lose in the first round, in the first game of the second round. I don't, your thoughts on that, you know, OKC last night. I just think it's bizarre that happened, and maybe it's not that great to be the number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that, you know, we saw Boston just, you know, Boston, another team kind of like how the Cavs have been built, you know, over the last couple of years, and especially with the way that they changed things and they became such a heavy three-point shooting team. You know, Boston is obviously kind of the standard for what everyone's mimicking this year. Based on their championship, they missed 45 threes last night. 45. I mean, they shot like, they took a 20-point lead and then shot, I think, 29% from the field the rest of the way. Jason Tatum looked like he was just practicing step-back jumpers instead of actually trying to play basketball in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't even care if the Celtics win or lose. I was screaming at my TV. Like, just, I was like, just play basketball. Like, I couldn't believe what he was doing. And then the Thunder, I mean, I don't know if that was a bad strategy or if it's just, you know, Jokic is a monster and there's nothing you can do when he's going for 40 and 20. But yeah, I think it shows you, you know, home court advantage is good. And I think that it's better for later in the series. If you get into a tight game five, you get into a tight game seven, but a lot of these guys aren't worried about that first game. They want to come out there and set the tone. And it's on the home team to, if they lose that game one, that game three now, when they go back, you got to win game two. You can't go down 0-2. But that game three now becomes so important of, you got to snatch that home court advantage back. If you can't do that, you really put yourself at a disadvantage.
Zach Harper joining us from The Athletic. The Boston Celtics have just shot threes. Well, they shot them all the way to an NBA championship. Okay, so we know that happened. But last night, they're missing like crazy. The Cavs were missing in game one, took a lot. Are the analytics so strong, Zach, that they just scream, keep shooting, rather than try something else? Because teams just seem to keep shooting and not try something else.
It's interesting. So, like, this is one of the arguments I have about analytics. Like, I am pro analytics to a degree, right? Like, analytics say get the most efficient shot. Like, I always try to replace it with the word efficiency, right? So the most efficient shot is a shot at the rim. And then you want to get, like, the corner threes and you want to get free throws. Like, those are the most efficient ways to score, right? So you can get shots at the rim. Teams should take that more than anything. Except for some reason on fast breaks, we just run to the three-point line instead of going to the rim, and that drives me crazy. I don't know what's going on there.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like, there's part of it where I find it fascinating because I do think there's, like, for the best players in the league and, like, the really good shooters, because you're 0 for 10 – you shouldn't have the mentality that the next one's going to miss. You shouldn't be afraid to take that shot. At the same time, I don't know, you might want to go get a layup. You might want to go get a close shot. You might want to go get a free throw, right? You might want to see the ball go through the hoop. So it's this, like, kind of like contradictory, you know, thought process of, you do need to see the ball go through the hoop in some way. You know, steal the ball from the ref during a timeout and go make a layup or something. I don't know what you got to do, but yeah, like, you got to go find an easy bucket to just get that rhythm back and then maybe start working your way back out to the three-point line. But yeah, I mean, we've seen that with Boston before the championship, right? In the years before, if that shot's not falling for them, they don't really have a plan B. Mm-mm. I don't know what they do, but like, when that shot's not falling for them, they don't have that. I thought we saw, you know, a change in the Cavs this year, but at least in game one, when that shot wasn't falling, they didn't really seem to have another plan.
I'm sure Kenny Atkinson would rather be coach of the playoffs rather than NBA coach of the year after picking up that award today. But can you just kind of reflect back on what he was able to do? And I do find it ironic that J.B. Bickerstaff ended up coming in second, the former Cavs coach.
it's kind of a funny story, right?
Yeah.
you fire him, and I didn't think JB deserved to be fired. I mean, I it's weird because like if you don't think he should be the coach, then and you think there's a better coach, then you fire the guy, right? Like that's just how the business works. Yeah. I didn't think JB was the problem, is what I should say. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was the reason that they lost, but whatever. You don't want him to coach, then he's not the coach anymore. And then he went to Detroit and did a phenomenal job putting that Pistons team as the sixth seed, and not even the sixth seed as default. Like, that was a legitimately good team in Detroit. And then Kenny came in, and I mean, it wasn't just, oh, this team is winning games. I mean, he changed that offense. He put, like, intricate cutting systems and passing systems into a team that really wasn't playing basketball that way, and it changed them, and it made them historically good. I mean, I think they're the only team in history to win, like, three different 12-game win streaks in a season, right? I think that was a stat. Like, I mean, they were amazing this year, and to take a group of guys and you know, they changed a little bit, right? They changed a little bit with a couple of acquisitions, but that was pretty much the same team as the previous 2 years, and make them look completely different, and make them buy into it, make Donovan buy into to sacrificing, you know, his personal stuff. And not that he's a selfish guy, but that's, you know, that deep into a career to convince a guy to do it is not easy. And I just, I mean, he did an incredible job. Absolutely incredible job.
Zach, last night in game one, Knicks and Celtics, and we talked about the three-pointers from Boston. It looked like the Knicks were a team that knew exactly what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. And I wonder, can they do that three more times and knock Boston out of this thing?
Oh, man, I don't expect Boston to shoot like that again.
I don't either.
You know, and maybe that's foolish, but you know, I know, you know, New York was celebrating. They wanted to, you know, throw it back in everyone's face. You know, everyone was talking about the record that New York had against the Thunder and the Cavs in Boston during the regular season and everything. To me, I still look at that matchup and everything New York is vulnerable at, Boston excels at exploiting, you know, and we saw that in the first, I don't know, like 30 minutes of that game. I mean, they were up 20. They were up 20 like pretty easily. And that was without shooting all that well. And then they really went cold, and we saw how that went. But I think if Boston even shoots reasonably well, they win that series. If they shoot the way that they're supposed to shoot, they're going to obliterate them in that series. And so I maybe they can disrupt it. I do think their defense was pretty solid last night during that cold streak for Boston. I don't want to say it was all just bad shooting. I think their defense was good. I think their plan was pretty decent. But I just, man, I don't expect Boston to shoot that way. But, you know, if Kristaps is sick and isn't able to be full strength, and, you know, we know Drew and Jalen have been banged up, and you never know what Tatum's going to do in terms of decision making. And maybe there's a chance New York is the Cinderella here.
We just don't want it to be New York and Indiana while we're sitting in these seats. I can just tell you that. let me just throw this at you. The Cavs, despite being beat up right now, win tonight against Indiana if they what?
I think just if they tighten up that perimeter defense. I think if you tighten up the perimeter defense, you know, I expect the shots to fall for Cleveland. They're at home. Like, I actually think Cleveland, like, wins not easily, but, like, pretty soundly. Like 10, 11 points. Like, I think Cleveland is going to bounce back. I think it's more about what they do in Indiana in games 3 and 4. But I think they'll tighten up that perimeter defense. They'll still be able to – I'm assuming Mobley plays, so they'll still be able to, you know, protect the paint with Jarrett and Evan, and I think they're going to do a great job, you know, kind of walling off the rim and everything. And Indiana really does attack the rim extremely well. But if you can cut off the paint, still protect the perimeter, which we know Cleveland has done a pretty good job of all year, I think they win this game and don't have to worry too much about it. Indiana's going to make runs, but Cleveland's really good at weathering those runs.
Zach, thank you so much. Reading in the Athletic, the Bounce newsletter, all those good things, and we appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Zach Harper from The Athletic joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.